بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الله نور السماوات والأرض. Allah Ta'ala is the provider of light, whether in the heavens or on the earth. In other words, in the entire universe, wherever it is. Within the universe, above the universe. So the provider of the light is Allah Ta'ala. When we say light, then what do we refer to? Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi explains, light is zahirun fi nafsihi wa muzhirun li ghayrihi. In itself, it is evident and it brightens up everything around. So this light is such that it doesn't only lighten up physical, even spiritual, even things that are related to the mind, mental, physical, mental, spiritual, logical. So light is that which enables you to see. See physically or see right mentally. Or we say understanding. Same, seeing means understanding. Understanding means seeing. So this the light through which will enable you to see rightly, understand things in perspective. This is a reflection of the light of Allah Ta'ala, without which you cannot see anything. You can't reason, you can't understand. A man has no value. If you can't reason, can't understand, can't comprehend things, then does that man has any value? But the value is because of the light that Allah has blessed you. And that light means the ability to be able to see things rightly. See things rightly both figuratively and verbally. Both ways you can see things right. Allahu nuru samawati wal ard. And there can't be anything that's more important than this light. Because without this light, zulumatum ba'duha fawqa ba'd, you're covered in depths of darkness. So deep is the depth of the darkness, you can't lam yakad yaraha, you can't even see your own hand. You can't see it at all. So deep, you are drowned in the depths, in the abyss of darkness. So this light enables you to see, to understand, to reason, to be able to move, to progress. That's the light. Allahu nuru samawati wal ard. So Allah Ta'ala gives a description of this light, special light. That light which we will say, مَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ بِهِ خَيْرًا يُفَقِّهُ فِي الدِّينِ. When Allah Ta'ala wishes well for someone, that He grants him the understanding. فَمَنْ شَرَحَ اللَّهُ صَدَرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ. Allah Ta'ala opens his heart. So this is a special light that Allah Pak blesses. That He gives a description of that light. مَثَلُ نُورِهِ كَمِشْكَاتٍ فِيهَا مِصْبَاحٍ. This light, imagine, is a niche, right? And within the niche is a lamp. So you can understand there's a niche, and the niche will be covered from all sides, and just one side is opened. So all that light will be focused in one direction, as though it's all accumulated and focusing just in one direction. So there was light on all sides, because the lamp is burning and closed in glass, right? So the light would be in all sides. Because all three sides are covered, so the light is being given in only one direction. And when it's accumulated from all sides, it's coming into only one direction, you can imagine what will be the strength of that light. Too powerful. Kamishkatin fiha misbah. Ka'annaha kawkabun durri yuqadu min shajara. So bright, brilliant, like a brilliant star. And the oil that is feeding this, that also is brilliant. La sharqiyyatin wa la gharbiyya. Why it is brilliant? Because the lamp is fed with an oil, right? With olive oil. And that olive plant didn't have an eastern aspect, nor did it have a western aspect. You see, if a tree is growing, right, and it has an eastern aspect, then it doesn't get the light throughout the day. It may get the light perhaps in the afternoon. It may not get the light in the evening, in the morning. And if it's got a western aspect, then it's got the light in the morning, not in the afternoon. But if it is on a high land, no eastern aspect, no western aspect, nothing, no building, no tree, no jungle, nothing is blocking it, then it's got light throughout the day. Imagine a tree on high land, it doesn't have an eastern aspect, nor does it have a western aspect. La sharqiyyatun wala gharbiyya. So now the tree and the fruit would be getting that light throughout the day. When it's getting the light throughout the day, right, then you can imagine what will be the quality of the fruit. Because the fruit is determined by the quality of the light and the fertility of the ground. How good the ground is and how good the light is. The light is good, the ground is good, so the fruit also will be so good. But if it's got an eastern aspect or it's got a western aspect, now the growth of the fruit will be stunted. Because it's getting light, but some part of the day. So it's getting some light, but not light throughout the day. But if it is that it's not stunted, not blocked in the morning, it's not blocked in the afternoon, it's getting light all the time. Can you imagine now what will be the quality of that fruit? And then can you imagine now what will be the quality of that oil? You can imagine now it's a light that's within the heart of a Muslim. It's within the heart of a Muslim. And it's already radiant, already illuminating. Because the lamp is shining. The oil that is feeding it, that is brilliant. Imagine the lamp is already shining, sparkling. And the oil that is feeding it, that is also brilliant. Right? You see that? So even if there isn't any fire that is lighting it up, then too it stands out. So that's the heart of a Muslim, that before the wahi can come, he can see things in perspective, he can see things, he can understand things, even before the wahi can come. See, therefore we find the Sahaba Ikram, Umar radiyahu, says, وَافَقْتُ رَبِّي. What Allah wanted, that was already in my heart. It was already in my heart before it could be revealed. Like I had the thought that Maqam Ibrahim, that's where we should perform our 2 rakats of tawaf. Right? So that was in my heart, and the wahi came exactly like was in my heart. Can you see that? So before the revelation could come, before the divine command can come, my heart is already there. So this, the heart is so illuminated, the heart is so radiant, it's so bright, that it needs that wahi to direct it. But the light in itself naturally is so illuminated that you can see already. Now when the light of the heart is so illuminated, is so bright, Now you can imagine that if it is supported by divine light, then can you imagine the light that's within the heart of a Muslim is so brilliant, it's standing out. But if it's supported with divine light, then can you imagine how brilliant it will be? So it doesn't have nothing is blocking it. The fruit which is producing the oil, right? Nothing is blocking it, because it's not an easternly. It doesn't have an eastern aspect, doesn't have a western aspect. So the quality of the fruit is too good. So that Muslim's heart, right? The Muslim's heart is not prejudiced. It doesn't have. It's not malicious. It doesn't have pride. There's no ostentation. There's no self-admiration. Right. So normally, the light can be infused, but the light that is infused is blocked. It's blocked by what? Ostentation, pride, show, self-admiration. Right. So now that is coming to block that light. But if it's free from all this, free from any ostentation, any type of show, any type of self-admiration, any type of pride and arrogance, now can you imagine what would be the beauty of that heart? Yeah. So in itself it's radiant, because it's just radiance. It doesn't have an eastern aspect of pride, it doesn't have a western aspect of complication, davening, etc. Nothing is blocking it. It's perfect. Can you see the heart of a Muslim? So that's why that he says, "Kullu mauludin yuladu al-fitra." Every person that is born, he's got that light. The heart wants to take the good. He's born like that. He's born with the ability to accept the truth. He's born with the potential to understand Allah Ta'ala, to recognize Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So, no matter who he may be, but he naturally has the liking, the desire for meeting Allah Ta'ala. Whoever it is, people go wrong after that. Hindu, far Christians, they go wrong. But within the recess of the heart, there is the desire to meet Allah Ta'ala. At some point or the other, it's there. And some persons, they take advantage, they exploit, and some people they totally ignore. And some people ignore it, but partly, partial. So they're getting a light, but the light is partial, it's not impartial. And the light is partial because of the blockages that the heart has got. So they can't see the picture completely. They can see something, but they don't get the full picture. So because they can't get the full picture, so therefore they can't get the speed. So you get the speed when you got the full picture. See that Nurun ala Nur. So imagine now, there's a horse, you know, think of an example, horse, right? That thing is really, really spirited. An Arabian horse, and the Arabian horse is spirited, right? So it wants to move, there's a race, it wants to move. To gallop and give its best, give off its best. So there is the potential to move, there is the potential to gallop, there is the potential to race and run, right, to move. The potential is there. But now, if that type of a horse is guided by a rider, a professional rider, then can you imagine what will be the speed? There'll be any problem in the speed. There'll be any problem in the guidance. No problem in the guidance. No problem in the speed. Because that thing is spirited himself, and he's got a professional rider. So can you imagine the speed? Can you imagine the direction? Everything will be accurate. يَهْدِ اللَّهُ لِنُورِهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. So now, the need is, then how do we derive from that? Allah Ta'ala has created this dunya with wasail. Some contacts, some suburb you must use, and then you will get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He doesn't give you a direct line. You want a direct line, you don't get it. That's how He's made a dunya. All of us were in the plane of the souls at some point, right? Alam arwa, plane of souls. Could we apply to Allah Ta'ala, could we request that Allah Ta'ala give me a direct flight to this earth? Could you apply? Allah Ta'ala said that was for Adam al-Islam, finish. Never to be continued after that. Even Isa al-Islam through Maryam al-Islam. No direct flight. The flights are going to come through some means or the other. You're not going to get any direct flights. And you'll have to adopt the means. To get there, you'll have to adopt the means. And for everything in this world, Allah says, no, adopt the means. Don't you ask for a direct flight. You adopt the means. Right? So therefore, the hadith will say, كَسْبُ الْحَلَالِ فَرِيدَةٌ. To earn a halal living is an obligation. It's obligatory, right? So, here again, you have to go and work for that halal. The halal is not going to come to you directly. You see anybody, and that food is coming to him directly. Can you see? It happens once. رَبَّنَا أَنزِلْ عَلَيْنَا مَعِدَةً مِنَ السَّمَاءِ. The disciples have asked Isa alayhi salam, send us a table of food, tray of food. So the meat and bread, everything came for them, right? But you see this happening again. So the normal procedure is to do the tilling, the milling, the farming, the grounding, the fertilizing, the irrigating. All that, after all that processes, that eventually that one morsel of food reaches your plate and you enjoy it. But you see this process coming to you directly. Does it happen? Even that infant child, that child also, he gets his nourishment by some means, mother, someone, and the child is getting that. So this is the design of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He wants you to conform to that design. Not to do things directly. See, we speak out against Salafis, right? Call them Salafi, call them Ahl Hadith, call them Ghair Muqallid. Why we speak out against them? We speak out against them because we feel that they want to go direct. What appears to them, they just want to do that. They want a direct line. Right? And because they want a direct line, we say, no, they're off the course. Why do we say they're off the course? Because they're not conforming with the Imams. So why do we say that it's so important to conform with the Imams? Because minus the Imam, right, then there'll be Talfiq, right? What is Talfiq? Talfiq is you freelancing. And freelancing, what does it do to you? Right? Freelancing is what it does to you. That today, you heard that if you bleed, right, if you bleed, the blood is flowing, then according to Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi, that doesn't break your wuzu. So you say, today I'm a Shafi. Then you hear another masala, that if you touch a woman, then it breaks your wuzu. One man got married, I won't mention his name. He said, I'm having problems, man, what happened? He said, no, when my family, she wants to perform namaz, I want to touch her or kiss her. Say, hey man, don't do that now. She's cold, I have to make wuzu again. Now, he's Hanafi and she's Shafi. So if you touch now, and that nullifies the wuzu. So it's cold up, it's just hold on. We do all that afterwards. So now, when it comes to touching a woman, he says, no, I'm Hanafi. So it'll be a pick and choose. It's just for convenience. For convenience, I'm a Shafi. for convenience, I am a Hanafi. I'll mix the whole thing up. Wherever it suits me, I will just select and I will choose as I want. And you see all these things that's happening here now. There's a precinct for all these things in India, nearly everything. Yesterday was just together Indian history. You find a precedent for nearly everything. Everything that you can think about, you find a precedent. You know, looking for loopholes, weaving your way, trying to work out something. One woman was guilty of zina in the day of there was an Islamic rule in India. Now she's a married woman and she needs to be stoned to death. That's the law of the Old Testament, that is in the hands of the Jews, and the law of the Quran. That woman married, and she committed this, and she will be stoned to death. And in the law of Allah Ta'ala, لَا تَأْخُذْكُمْ بِهِمَا رَأْفَةٌ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ. In executing the law of Allah Ta'ala, don't your heart be moved. It mustn't be moved. It's a command of Allah Ta'ala. Don't your heart be affected by anything. Why? Because Allah Ta'ala is Ar-Ufur Rahim, Alim, He is all-knowing, wise, and He is most compassionate. With His compassion and knowledge, He is saying that this person must be stoned to death. So can you be more compassionate than Allah Ta'ala? You can't be more compassionate. So He is commanding that this person will be stoned to death, then that's the best thing to be done at that time. Then you don't add your two cents, but you know, it's barbaric and it's so inhuman, why should we do this? When you will replace the law of Allah Ta'ala with your own understanding, then you will cause chaos, your problems. Right? The international Western law is that you can't amputate the hand for theft. So when you can't amputate the hand for theft, now so they say that's barbaric, it's inhuman, don't do it. So they try to substitute the law of Allah Ta'ala with their own understanding, their own reasoning. So the law of Allah Ta'ala was amputate. For what? For theft. Amputate the hand. But now what they came up with, that this inhuman and it's barbaric, so don't enforce the law of Allah Ta'ala. So the law of Allah Ta'ala cannot be replaced. Is the law of Allah Ta'ala, is the law of the being that's most compassionate, most loving, all-knowing and all-wise. That's His law. So don't substitute it, because you'll create complications for yourself. Right. Now when they replace, they try to substitute it. Now I ask you, is any law-abiding citizen, is he safe? No law-abiding citizen is safe now. You're sitting in the confines of your home. You've got controls, you've got burglar guards, you've got satellite, you've got a patrol system, you are armed. But are you safe, sir? So why aren't you safe? You aren't safe because you try to substitute the law of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala's law is proven. If the guilt is proven, then amputate the hand. And amputate it not in secret, in open, because the crime is in open. So, وَلْيَشْهَدْ عَذَابَهُمَا طَائِفَةٌ مِنْ. Let it be publicized. So in today's world, imagine, man is standing up in front of the entire world and his hand is being amputated for theft. What will happen? It will send shivers, even the spine of the leaders. Won't it? Forget the subjects. Even the leaders, what's happening here now? That means if I do this, my child does this, there is no break. There is no exit. I'll have to go through this. What will happen? So you see the law of Allah Ta'ala. It will be applied on one person, but it will influence millions and billions of people. وَلْيَشْهَدْ عَذَابَهُمَا طَائِفَةٌ مِنَ الْمِينَ. That crime, the penalty, must be witnessed, and witnessed very well. with this. Well, he said, don't do it in secret. Because it's meant, فَقْتَعُوا أَيْدِيَهُمَا جَزَاءً بِمَا كَسَبَا نَكَالًا مِنَ اللَّهِ. It's meant to be a lesson. Are you going to do it in confines, closed doors? Is it going to be a lesson? نَكَالًا مِنَ اللَّهِ. It must be a lesson. It must be a lesson to everybody. An instructive lesson. See, you're going to steal, so what's going to happen to you? So now, you'll apply the law one person, and billions of people will all be at ease, relaxed. You see a mountain of gold, you'll think million times before you touch it. Won't you? And up till recently, I don't know now, Allah Pak knows best now, I used to see those days, right? 20 years ago, 30 years ago, that person is selling jewelry. And their jewelry shops are not like Vaudas and Randeris and all. It's all small fries. They are loaded, man, loaded. All type of gold and diamonds, emeralds, whatever, you know. And they're closing for break. They all must have a break, two and a half hours. They'll just put a curtain over the entrance, and they're all gone. Relaxing, sleeping. No, nobody's worried in the world. And nobody has got the courage to go and just open the veil, but nobody doesn't want to touch it. But you see, the law is applied on just one person, and the whole world is shaking. And here, you want to spare that person, and the whole world is shaking. See, that the whole world is now affected, not shaking, is affected. But why you want to spare that life? Because you spare that life, and the whole world is in a chaotic state. So it's the law of Allah Ta'ala. The law of Allah Ta'ala cannot be replaced. Understand that. Nobody can substitute the law of Allah Ta'ala. Like Allah Ta'ala has made the world, the sun must rise in the east. Can we all try and get it from the west? Can't. Can it happen? Allah has made you that you must eat from your mouth, right? Can you eat from your eyes? Or ears? Stuff it in. Can you? Or from your back passage? Can you do it? So it's one passing now, forward and reverse, right? So let's put a reverse movement. Can it happen? Can it happen? Can't. It's one way Allah Pak has made it. He's ordained it that way has to be respected. You can't get it working in any other way. وَلْيَشْهَدْ عَذَابَهُمَا طَائِفَةٌ مِنْهُمْ. See that? So we're talking of this light, right? And how Allah Pak blesses you with this light. Now, then what's required to earn this light? There's some processes that you can get the light. I said in this world here, this world doesn't work straight. You'll have to go through some means. Anything, look for anything. You want a cloth to keep yourself warm, can just come from the heavens straight. You have to go through the means. But a kurta, can it come straight? You have to go to Ra'is Taylor, Salim Taylor, Farah Taylor, you get that thing run, right? Can you get it straight? You can't. You want to build a house? Someone you have to go to. Some builder or the other, some contractor you have to go, just do it for us. Does it happen straight? If it was happening straight, the world couldn't have moved. If it's happening straight, can the world operate? Because there's no need for a builder, no need for a tailor, no. It's coming straight. Just ask Allah, give me a house. So the house is there. So, could the earth operate? Couldn't operate. Because I don't need you. It's just coming straight, it's coming. So I don't need. There's no interdependency. The earth works because there is a thing like interdependence. See, even within one home, a single home, there is dependence. Isn't the dependence? So the wife depends on the husband. That you go out, you earn, bring something for the house. So her mind is relaxed. That my husband is out, he'll earn, he'll bring something, and we'll be all at ease, right? And the husband's mind is at ease that she'll do for us. She'll cook, she'll look after the children, she'll keep the house well kept, right? Everything will go very well. The house is right, the food is right, the children are right, everything is right, clothing are right, everything is. So his mind is at ease and her mind is at ease. Both are comfortable, relaxed and tranquil. But if there wasn't this interdependency, then, right, will there be the need for the husband to work for the house? Will there be a need for the wife to work for the husband? No need. I'm my boss. He says, I'm my boss. I don't need to work for anybody else. But he's designed the whole life this interdependence. The poorest of the poor needs the wealthy, and the wealthiest of the wealthy needs the poor. Can the wealthy say, no, I don't need the poor? How is the business going to run? You got 50 people, 100 people, 1,000 people working for you, and there's no interdependence, they don't need you. So can your business flourish? And that wealthy person is not giving you a job, can you exist? So the wealthy requires the poor requires the wealthy. So there's an interdependence. That this world, the design of this world. Understand how Allah Pak has designed it, and you'll find a lot of lesson, a lot of goodness in it. So now we're asking now, where are you going to get this nur? And how are you going to get, what's the requirement to get this? Because this is the secret of life, this is the mystery of life. Because the mystery of life is you must be able to see things in perspective, and your heart must accept it. Your heart must accept it, and you must be able to see it in perspective. That's the mystery of life. If you can see things but your heart is not accepting, then can you see? Can you be right? فَإِنَّهَا لَا تَعْمَ الْأَبْصَارُ وَلَكِنْ تَعْمَ الْقُلُوبُ الَّتِي فِي الصُّدُورِ. Can you see this verse? لَا تَعْمَ الْأَبْصَارُ وَلَكِنْ, they can see, but the hearts are not just registering. So you can see things, but your heart just doesn't want to accept it. See? So there is a blockage in the heart. Can you see that? There is a blockage. The mirror can do the reflecting job. That's the job of the mirror, what to reflect, to give a reflection. But it's coated with dust. From the top to the bottom is covered with dust. Can it give its reflection? Its job is to reflect, give a true reflection of the thing. But it's covered with dust entirely from the top to the bottom. Now can it do its job? Or it's covered partially, not fully. Can you see it? Can you still see properly? You're driving now, rear view, and partially, you can only see partial. Can you drive properly with a proper vision? For driving, for seeing yourself, you need a proper vision. But if it's covered partially and visible partially, can you drive properly? Or it's covered with dust completely, can you get a proper vision? So the heart has been covered. فَإِنَّهَا لَا تَعْمَ الْأَبْصَارُ وَلَكِنْ تَعْمَ الْقُلُوبُ الَّتِي فِي الصُّدُورِ. The eyes is doing its work, but the picture is not clear. And the picture is not clear, there is no progress. You can't move. Or if there's a move, then there is no drive. The drive is not there. You know, you need to have a drive. Move. There's no drive within you. Now, can there be the drive? Can you move? Can you progress? Why there's no drive? Can you see that? See this verse again, repeatedly. Just see. فَإِنَّا لَا تَعْمَ الْأَبْصَارِ وَلَكِنْ تَعْمَ الْقُلُوبُ الَّتِي فِي الصُّدُورِ. So it's not that they're blind, but their hearts are blind. Hearts are not just taking on. Why the hearts are not taking on is because it's covered. When it's covered, it's not taking. It's got the ability to reflect. It's got the ability to take things. But you're not removing, you're not taking out the initiative, or you're not taking the initiative to remove the dust. So now what's the dust? What is the dust? See this whole Surah Nur, there's two things that Allah Pak speaks about, right? One thing that Allah Pak speaks about, He impresses upon, is the tongue. لَوْلَا إِسْسَمِعْتُمُوا ظَنَّ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. One of the tongue, use of the tongue. So one of the things that brings about the dust on the heart is the misuse. You see that? Now that thing covers it up. You could see just now, and now the misuse of the tongue, and now you can't see. Either it's ghibat, either it is propaganda, you became a victim of propaganda. And then you get innocent people getting involved. people, intellectual otherwise, or intelligent people, but they're getting involved in it. Now there's a problem carrying on somewhere. Now you'll come and ask, hey, but how could they fire this person here after 40 years service? See, now that's the news. Now you ask the person, do you know the nitty-gritties of the entire case? No, but how can they do this? But again you ask him, do you know the nitty-gritties of the whole case, from Alif to Wassalam, do you know the whole case? I don't know the case. I don't know it. So then why did you fall into it? Number two is, you ask yourself, did anybody appoint you as the judge in this case? So you don't have all the facts before you. You don't have all the facts. Right. Number two is, nobody appointed you to be judging the whole thing. But how can they fire this person like that? I ask you this rightfully. So, to be able to preside, you need to have all the facts before you. Number two, you need to have a sense of judgment. How do you judge things? You have to have that understanding. Number three is, people also respect you for your sense of judgment. So, you can see things, the facts are before you, and you have been appointed. Then you judge. For the sight. Now, you don't have the sight, now how can you do it? Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas is the uncle of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He's appointed as the governor in Syria. A very significant governor. Like how you know you have a primer. So he's the primer of the whole place. Bigger than South Africa, Sham, whole Syria. There's a complaint that reaches her. Umar radiallahu anhu, the la yasiru fi sariya, he doesn't go out in Jamaat. Simple translation, doesn't go out in Jamaat. La yasiru fi sariya. That's one complaint. What? He doesn't go out in Jamaat. Second complaint, wala yu'ti bi sariya. When he needs to be giving things, then he doesn't show equality, right? It's this favoritism. Right? And the third problem he's got, وَلَا يَقْضِي فِي الْقَدِيَّةِ وَلَا يَعْدِلُ فِي الْقَدِيَّةِ. And he's not a good judge also. He's very unfair. What? He's unfair in his judgment. There's a word in Jamaat. So the complaint reached Umar radiallahu anhu. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, he was blessed by Rasulullah Pak's person that your du'as are going to be answered. So he made du'a, Lata, in kana kaziban, fatawwil umura. Allah, if he's a liar, give him a long age. Right? Wa'arridhu fil fitna, and let him become involved in problems. Wa'ami basara, and blind him. So that's what happened after that. He got a long age, 95 something, became blind, and whereas he was a namazi and everything else, and he's starting off all the flirting with the girls in the street. See that? So now this is Sa'd bin Waqqas, the uncle of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and this person is complaining to Umar radiallahu anhu of the inconsistencies of Sa'd radiallahu anhu. In the meanwhile, Umar radiallahu anhu gets the whole news directly from Sa'd. Calls him to Medina. From Sham, gets the whole news. And after he's brought him to Medina Munawara, Umar radiallahu anhu terminates his service. Understood? He's been replaced. Sa'd radiallahu anhu is replaced. Although he's right, there's no problem, no inconsistency, nothing wrong with him. But he's been replaced by someone else. Whoever the other Sahabi must have been. But he's been replaced. Can you see what's happening? Now, will you say, na'uzu billah, Umar was wrong, that for Sa'd, the uncle of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and what a prestigious position he had, and the man just dismissed him. No valid reason. What an unfair decision. Can you say that? You can't say it because administration has got a lot of things that go with it. It's not just one-sided thing. in an administration, there's a lot of things that goes. And you are looking at it from one perspective. The man that is at the top, he looks at it from a different perspective. This perspective, other perspective, that he's looking for a smooth administration. And for the smooth administration, the best thing was Saad radiallahu anhu to be replaced. His piety, his righteousness, everything in him. He was amongst those people that were boycotted for 3 years. 3 years, nothing to eat, absolutely. Sacrifices that he made. He was about the first person to accept Islam. But then, when this came to Umar, he dismissed him and replaced him. Hazrat Umar radiallahu himself had such respect for Saad ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu that Hazrat Umar is walking the street, one woman is going there, and there was a strong gush of wind, and her skirt just came up a little bit, some part of her ankle was exposed. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu took out his whip to lash her. Why aren't you observing this level of precaution? Hazrat Saad radiallahu anhu is there, right in the street. Hazrat Saad says to Hazrat Umar, it's no fault of hers. She took all the precautionary measures. There was a gust of wind. See, I'm going to curse you. But Umar was scared. He started shivering. He held his tongue. Take this whip and lash me. But don't curse me. So, Umar's respect for him was such. But on that occasion, he found it the best, most prudent thing to dismiss him of his position. Now, can anybody complain after it? He was the imam in this place here for so long. We dismissed him. Unfair dismissal. So I ask you, our brains, are they warped by Westernism or are they influenced by Islam? Because influenced by Islam, we have looked and looked for some type of precedent in Islamic history. Not Westernism. Westernism is doing all these things. So we didn't respect him, unfair dismissal. So we just heard some words here and there, and then we applied wherever, indiscriminately, we just applied the thing. But have we looked into our own history? Khalid ibn al-Walid, when they just hear his name, the whole kuffar world is trembling. They just hear the name, and the whole kuffar world is trembling. Who? Khalid ibn al-Walid, Now he's also in the Sham area, and he's the governor. The Saad, his time is finished. Khalid, from the time of Abu Bakr right till Umar's time, and he's the governor, he's governing the whole area. So, and he's such a mighty person that you hear his name, it sends shivers into the spine of the kuffar. As Umar becomes the Khalifa, as he becomes the Khalifa, he's right, dismissed. Replaced by Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah. Unfair dismissal. Western stand, what do you say? So Umar didn't know what he was doing. Today, you became very intelligent, super intelligent, and you know what you're doing. He didn't know what he was doing. Right. So Umar was insignificant. He didn't know what was going on in this world. But you know, today you know. He dismissed him. And not a single sahabi worth his salt ever complained. He had such reliance and respect for Umar radiallahu anhu, and also for the administration. One is for Umar, one is the administration has replaced him, mashallah. So why they respected the administration? Because they knew, alright, we know some things, but the full story is not before us. When the full story is not before us, then is it the right thing for us to take a decision on this? Is it our place to? Not our place. 79, alhamdulillah, I made my first hajj. So, came to Medina Munawwara. Mawlana Sayyid Khan Sahib, rahmatullah alayhi, he was the Amir of the whole Arab world. And the Arabs of Qatar and Bahrain, everybody, they held him in such esteem that they would send a special flight just to get Mawlana Sayyid Khan Sahib. Now, who's a prince now, they should send special flights for him. So he's held in such respect and esteem, right? So now, he knew me a little bit, somehow he got to know me, right? So he saw me in Medina Munawwara. And around this time, there was a problem in India, right? So two great personalities, great personalities, and there was a difference. So I'm coming from India, I'm coming straight to Medina Munawwara. So straight he saw me. Tum kis taraf ko the? Which side you on? Which side were you on? 79 now. Can you imagine now? 44 years ago, right? 44 years ago. I'm still young. And the man just got me off call. Off guard he got me. Which side you were on? So Allah Pak's blessings, Allah Pak's fazl and grace. I'm so thankful to Allah Ta'ala. I'm not on any side. Then what did you do? No, I respected both. He's also a senior, he's also a senior. But isi tarah se rehna. Spongin, isi tarah se rehna. Just remain like this. See that? Now, all the facts are not before me. Every fact is before me. If Allah Ta'ala were to call me on the day of Qiyamah, said, you presided over this case here, but did you have every fact before you? And then, why didn't you apply the rule, لا تَخْفُ مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ? You don't have all the facts before you, then why did you give judgment, premature judgment that was? Why did you do that? Would I have any answer for that? You know, as a senior, he's a senior in deen, I respected him, but I left it at that, and I get myself engaged in this. So isn't that a safe route? Oh, but everyone must give 6 pence. I must look at social media, I must look at what people say, because I am the world's referee. I am the world's referee, so I must give my 2 cents. But in the process now, you're getting entangled this side, you're getting pulled on that side, guna on that end, guna on that end. It's natural, you like a person, right? When you like a certain person, you'll feel inclined towards him. You'll feel he's right. But I ask you, with all that, have you got any evidence to say that he's absolutely right? So, what's the safest thing then? Man sakata naja. The safest thing is just remain silent. Don't listen to it and don't talk about it. You cannot say, no, I didn't talk about it, I only heard about it. You can't get away. You don't listen to it and you don't even speak about it. Why must you listen to it? Even if you speak about it, or even if you listen to it, you will have some inclination, won't you? You heard some news. You're a man, can't you get influenced? Can't you get affected? If someone comes and gives you a false news, your mother died. Right? For that moment, won't you get affected? You're human, you'll get affected, definitely. Then you'll get to know that it was a rumor. But at that moment, what happens? You must get affected, because you're human. So all these type of rumors, don't even listen to it. Don't even speak about it. As Zaji Ramad used to say, want to be a happy man, close your eyes, close your tongue, and close your ears. What? But now we want to be all sad, you know, sad sack. What? Sad sack. You know why sad sack? Because his sack is full of sad. His sack is full of sadness, therefore they call him a sad sack. I don't know if they call it a comic now. In India there was a comic, Chakram. You heard about it? The Chakram, there was. All his sad sacks, you know. But we want to hear all these sad stories. And we want to hear, what happened to that? What's the latest day? What happened? You don't take the names, eh? But the way you're talking about it, you know exactly who. You know this man here was 40 years in the Madras and they took him out. So you know who he's talking about. Huh? And you know that man with the white beard stays near the masjid. Yeah, I'm not taking the name, but you know. Very, very foolish, very stupid ways. You're not taking the name as though you feel you're not guilty at all. But you gave the description, you know who he's talking about. I'm not giving the name, I'm not being given, because I'm not taking the name. But the way you're giving the description, the man knows exactly who it fits. So you see, one word you heard or you spoke about, but it can blacken the heart. You're not getting the nur.